Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 4. So Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them what the hour was when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that the hour was when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live," and he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The way of the church runs counter to the way of the world. The world says seeing is believing, but we in the church hang our hat on a different one. Hearing is believing, we might say, or perhaps faith comes by hearing, as St. Paul said. The world trusts in what it sees, what their eyes observe. Even though less and less this can be less and less certain these days, we see all sorts of impossible things on TVs, on our phones, on our iPads, and yet I still think that in our heart of hearts, in our mind, we say, yes, they might have doctored it on YouTube, they might have doctored it on the TV, but if I saw it with my own eyes, then I know for sure. Then I'd know for certain whether or not it is true. For some reason, we trust our eyes. Eve saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye and therefore ate of it. Adam saw that Eve was pleasing to the eye. The Israelites wanted a God of their own that they could see with their eyes, and so they made one. Seeing is believing, we are told. We understand this temptation. Who among us wouldn't want to see a little glimpse of heaven, just a brief vision? Maybe to witness a miracle in the making for ourselves, one little sign or wonder to make sure that we're not off our rocker completely and entirely. But this temptation is also not always so obvious. It can also be the temptation to see the church succeeding. The temptation to see a large church full of lots of people and a massive budget as the sign of God's blessing or favor, whether it's a church full of projector screens and bands or a church full of stately statues, stained glass, and organs, we look at these places and think, God has really blessed them. They are growing. God must really be happy with what they're doing. That's trusting in what our eyes see and not what our ears hear. What did the official, probably from Herod's court, see in today's reading? First, he saw his own son dying. I can imagine few things as painful as watching your own son die. Perhaps he had seen the doctors of the day trying to heal him and failing. He certainly saw his servants doing their very best. They kept such a close eye on him, they knew the exact moment when the fever left him and sent somebody to tell him. This is what the official saw. All the work that these doctors and servants were doing, and his son was still not recovering. Then the official saw Jesus. He probably knew Jesus was the one who had changed water into wine. For some reason, regardless of whatever it might be, he thought Jesus could come down and then he could watch Jesus heal his son. And so he asked Jesus, "Come down, heal my son." Jesus' reply to his request echoes Jesus' own comments to the Syrophoenician woman. You know the one Jesus told, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus commended her faith when she assured him, "All I need is the crumbs of your infinite mercy," and then granted her request. So here, Jesus rebukes not only the man, but in fact all those standing around as well. In Texan, we might translate this, "Unless all of y'all see the sign and wonders, all of y'all will not believe." He's talking to all of them. He chastises every one of them. It's as though he is saying, "You all are here only because you heard about the water and the wine, and you want to see another miracle. You're not really interested in listening to what I have to say." The man, however, remains persistent. His faith continues to cling to Jesus. Yes, perhaps he still is trusting a bit too much in his eyes. He still wants Jesus to come down, but he still has his faith clinging to the right person. "Sir, come down before my child dies." And then the man hears and believes. "Go, your son will live," Jesus says. He believes this word that Jesus spoke. He heard Jesus' rebuke, and then he believed Jesus' promise. This is the substance of faith, what it means for faith to be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, that we continue to cling to Jesus despite what our eyes see, because we have heard what he proclaims. The ruler did not see that his son was healed. He had no way of knowing whether or not Jesus had actually spoken the truth, whether or not Jesus had actually healed his son. But he shared the faith of the centurion, which says, "Only say the word and my servant will be healed." So also this ruler, this official, believed Jesus' word and went on his way. In fact, no one physically saw this second sign of Jesus. No, they simply heard the word Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." They simply heard. What have we heard? While the world around us focuses its eyes on glitz and glamour, on what pleases the eye and shows our worldly success, we instead tune our ears to God's word and his promises. We hear God's proclamation that his son also now lives. For just like this official, God watched his own son suffer and die completely on the cross. And not just die, but die bearing the full brunt of his wrath against our sin. But as God's word declared, and as Jesus promised, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And as he declared, so also he delivered. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. In Jesus, God died and God rose again and conquered death. That is what you have heard. You have also heard that God's promises that this resurrection, this new life, now belongs to you. He goes to prepare an eternal place for you with him, with Jesus. You have heard it, and like the ruler, you believe it. We do not trust in worldly success, the size of a congregation or the expenditures of their budget, whether large or small, as the sign of God's blessing and favor. No, God blesses his congregations with his word and sacraments, with his gifts that give life. We do not build earthly empires where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, we fix our eyes on him and what he has done. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We listen to him. We believe in this word that he has spoken and that we have heard. And we know that we will one day see him with our own eyes. You, with your very own eyes, will see and behold him. For now, we listen. For faith comes by hearing. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Ashley Lair, who serves the Lord in Puerto Rico. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.